salvation we have. Most of all, Lord, we just thank you for your good work in Jesus. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning, everyone. Get this up and running. Joy to be with you. I can tell you that. Okay, please stand as we recite the Shema and read the Word of God together. And I'll try in Hebrew. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elocha, Ve'kol Levacha, Uve'kol Neshevcha, Uve'kol Modecha, Ve'ahavta Eracha, Kamocha, Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Our reading this morning is the 20th chapter of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 20. Now a worthless fellow happened to be there, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, Benjamite. And he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel withdrew from following David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah remained steadfast to their king from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. Then David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, the concubines whom he had left to keep the house, and placed them under guard and provided them with sustenance, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as widows. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call out the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified and escape from our sight." So Joab's men went out after him, along with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men. And they went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was dressed in his military attire, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened at his waist. And as he went forward, it fell out. And Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand. So he struck him in the belly with it, and poured out his inward parts on the ground, and did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai his brother pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Now there stood by him one of Joab's young men, and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." But Amasa lay wallowing in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he removed Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him, when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. As soon as he was removed from the highway, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. Now he went through all the tribes of Israel, to Abel, even to Beth Maacah, and all the Barites, and they were gathered together and also went after him. And they came and besieged him in Abel Beth Maacah, and they cast up a mound against the city, and it stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab were wrecking destruction in order to topple the wall. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Here, here, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak with you." So he approached her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." Then she said, "Formerly they used to say, they will surely seek advice at Abel, and thus they ended the dispute. I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You are seeking to destroy a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you wallow up the inheritance of the Lord?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Such is not the case, but a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against King David. Only hand him over, and I will depart from the city." And the woman said to Joab, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman wisely came to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was over the whole army of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the forerunner, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, and Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jairite was also a priest to David. Thank you, Lord, for your word and your spirit, making it very much the course of our walk on this earth together. Amen. Please be seated. Second Samuel 20, verse 16. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Hear, hear, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak with you." This morning's reading highlights something that is often taken for granted. There's an aspect of our lives that needs more intensity of purpose and practice. We need to seek after the Lord to make it evident that we are considered wise by the manner in which we study every aspect of life singly through the lenses of the vision of that which will honor God. That is the reality of true wisdom. It is not necessarily what this world classifies as wisdom of the sages or the geniuses or those who have learned through experience that which is useful in this age. This world respects and venerates those who possess some gift of insight greater than others through the use of human intellect. The vile purpose is to promote the ability to see those elemental details which keep the mind and the eye of humanity focused on the minutiae of the plight of mankind. But the wisdom from God is not based on what the keen eye observes in the detailed examination of the human psyche in action. It is far more complex than that, while at the same time, much less focused on the effects that the movement of nature has on the affairs of human interaction. No, the wisdom of God is fully directed at the reality of seeing the hand of God in operation, day in and day out, in full accordance with that which will show His glory in all of His creation. What God calls wise is the one who knows God with some understanding, although it may seem limited and meager. That true wisdom will always be absolutely in line with the Word of God, because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, the wisdom that is from the Lord will always be brought forth in the light of the given word that God makes available to all who know Him in any measure whatsoever. There will be a studied emphasis that will highlight how God is working through the manifested giving of the Holy Spirit, making known the depths of the heart of Jehovah as it is detailed concisely in His Scripture. Accordingly, that wisdom can always be found and supported by the Bible in the full context of how it shows forth the plan and the purpose of the Lord God Almighty. This is vital for us to understand in any seeking after that which will be considered wisdom by the Lord. It will never rely on a twisting or violation of His Word through any cherry-picking of Scripture as a means of making a statement seem to be true. Anything that is offered forth as the spiritual wisdom of God must be proven through the depth and the breadth of the Bible. It will not just be based on an obscure interpretation of a passage that has been twisted and formed into something which seems to support the prescribed iteration. Too many so-called prophets have gone forth proclaiming this or that without any true wisdom of God evident in the support of His Word as it is open and as it is maintained by the active power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, one key aspect to the reality of the wisdom of God is that to have and to use it requires a cherished knowledge of the Word through prayer and study and reading and ingesting it. True wisdom is through seeking after the Holy Spirit to make His Word our very life. The crucial truth of wisdom is that it comes from God through the working power of the Holy Spirit as it is sought after with all the core essence of the one who would spend such time and energy to gain a better and deeper relationship with Yahweh. A wise person is one who, through such intensity of prayer and study, spends much time in ingesting the truth of His Word in intimate communion with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Let's briefly consider one of the many prime examples of godly wisdom that is held within the Word of God. We will return to that consideration of Abigail, whom the Bible holds forth as a glowing example of the wisdom of God, displayed at precisely the correct and most necessary time. 1 Samuel chapter 25 contains the account of the interaction between Abigail and David before he was on the throne, his men had been taking care of the shepherds and the flocks of Nabal in the wilderness region so that nothing untoward would happen to them. The men of David were hungry. Accordingly, David sent them to Nabal for some sustenance at the time of the shearing of the flock. Nabal was callous and ungrateful and insulting to David's men, despite the fact that they had so protected his flocks and his shepherds. David was incensed, and he was prepared to take his revenge upon this ungrateful cur and every male of his household. Where the Lord brought to the forefront the wisdom that was instilled in the wife of Nabal, Abigail. She understood exactly what was taking place and how to diffuse David's anger for the sake of the testimony of the Lord that David would be once he ascended to the kingship of all Israel. The slaughter of this fellow Hebrew and all the males of his family would have been a tremendous stain upon David's growing reputation as a man whose heart was after the Lord. Please turn to verses 23 through 31 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. Let's read together the wisdom of God that was brought to the forefront to diminish the anger and the frustration that was fueling this soon-to-be king of the nation. 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 31. When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground, and she fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. Then the Lord shall deal well with my Lord. When the Lord shall deal well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." Abigail approached this entire situation in the wisdom that proceeded forth from her understanding of that which pleased and honored Jehovah. The first aspect was that she put herself before David as the one who was guilty. She took upon herself the blame and made herself willingly the point of the wrath of David, rather than the intended annihilation of all the males of her household. This is the heart that lays down one's life for the sake of others, a true act of the living wisdom of God. The second revelation that Abigail was a very wise woman of God is that she understood what was at stake for David as the chosen one to sit upon the throne of Israel. She knew that the Lord had stated about David as a man whose heart was after the honor and the praise and the adoration of Jehovah. Therefore, she pointed out with all wisdom the encouragement to David of what his rash action bring about. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you all your days. And should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And it shall come about, when the Lord shall do for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you, and shall appoint you ruler over Israel, that this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. In the further detailing of the active wisdom of God being manifested in this situation, as recounted in verse 32, David was wise enough to listen to this astute woman. There was a softness of heart in this man to hear the voice of wisdom as it was proclaimed. David might well have chosen the path of many of the men of his age who simply set aside anything that a woman said as merely emotional babbling and not worth consideration. However, David was filled with enough perception to know that God speaks through his chosen people, be they male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile. Therefore, he willingly listened to this woman as she expounded the truth that he needed to hear. 1 Samuel 25:32. Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself by my own hand." The truth of the matter was that God used his wisdom instilled into Abigail to prevent David from making that terrible mistake which would haunt his installation upon the throne of Israel. This woman knew what God had said about David being anointed as the next king of Israel. As well, she knew that God would not be pleased with the action that was the intention of David's rashness. She put herself at the foot of this angry shepherd, thus taking upon herself the blame for the whole situation, because she knew that David was risking his very path to the throne with this action of anger and pride. And she knew that the witness and the testimony of God was at stake in this situation. Another time, when David was king, there was the use of the wisdom of a woman to keep David from showing himself as a bitter and a vengeful father. He had sent away his son Absalom, whom he dearly loved, because of Absalom's horrible action of killing his stepbrother. This was all tied up in the course of the consequences that were a result of David's great sin before the Lord with Bathsheba. However, at this point, David was dealing with his anger and mourning the loss of his murdered son as it was intermingled with his love for the son Absalom, who had been exiled. Joab, the counselor to the king, brought forth a woman considered to be wise to snap things out of his doldrums, which were greatly affecting the course of his ruling and decision-making. This was another of those times when David would hear the voice of the forgiveness of Jehovah through that of a woman who knew the God of Israel and sought to make it known for the sake of the king moving forward as the Lord would so have. Please turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of 2 Samuel, and we will begin reading together verses 1 through 3. 2 Samuel 14, 1 through 3. Now Joab, the son of Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, "Please pretend to be a mourner and put on a mourning garment now, and do not anoint yourself with oil. Be like a woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then go to the king and speak to him in this manner." So Joab put the words in her mouth. Joab set the words into the ears of this woman, but she was wise enough in the knowledge of the ways and the working of Jehovah to set before David that which was from the heart of God. This is recounted in verses 12 through 20 of this 14th chapter. This wise woman freely admitted that Joab had given her the words to speak, but she accounted it to the wisdom of God in the heart of David to discern that which needed to be done. She was a mouthpiece initiated by the action of Joab, but wise enough to put forth that which would show David the wisdom of God for the sake of the ruling and the overseeing of the nation of the Lord. 2 Samuel 14, 12 through 20. Then the woman said, "Please let your maidservant speak a word to my lord the king." And he said, "Speak." And the woman said, "Why then have you planned such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring back his banished one. For we shall surely die and are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but plans ways so that the banished one may not be cast out from him. Now the reason I have come to speak this word to my lord the king is because the people have made me afraid. So your maidservant said, 'Let me now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will perform the request of his maidservant. For the king will hear and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy both me and my son from the inheritance of God.' Then your maidservant said, "Please let the word of my lord the king be comforting, for as the angel of God, so is my lord the king to discern good and evil. And may the Lord your God be with you." Then the king answered and said to the woman, "Please do not hide anything from me that I am about to ask you." And the woman said, "Let my lord the king please speak." So the king said, "Is the hand of Joab with you in all this?" And the woman answered and said, "As your soul lives, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. Indeed, it was your servant Joab who commanded me, and it was he who put all these words in the mouth of your maidservant in order to change the appearance of things. Your servant Joab has done this thing. But my lord is wise, like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all that is in the earth. Yet God does not take away life, but plans ways so that the banished one may not be cast out from him. Please consider the wisdom stated in this verse. This is where we all were apart from Christ Jesus. Because of our sinful nature, born in transgression, we were banished from the presence of our most holy and righteous God. We could never come before Him unless He did something to make that a possibility. This is what He did in the giving of His only begotten Son, to redeem us unto Himself, placed into His presence as His very own adopted children. This heart of God was to be the heart of the King for His Son, as it is to be our hearts with all those who need to be seen as one of God's own. That is a wisdom beyond the reaches of human thought and understanding, but it is the very heart of God for each one of His wandering and forlorn children. We are very wise when we deal with others in the manner with which God so deals with us. That is the manifested course of how the wisdom of the Lord indwells His people in the course of our walk with Him on this sojourn that we call life. So be it, and amen. Amen.